Okay. We will do introductions in just a minute. The subcommittee meeting is to discuss the possibility of amending the NCIA board rules to allow for more options of online learning for caregiver and manager training program. The rules currently state that a manager training program cannot utilize any distance learning, and a caregiver training program must have a maximum of 20 hours of distance learning. The goal of this meeting is to create a final recommendation for the Arizona Board of Examiners of Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers on online learning for caregivers and manager program. And I will call the meeting to order. And Elizabeth, are you doing roll call?
I can do roll call, and then I'm going to do an attendance call after that.
Okay.
Okay, so roll call, Vice President Archer.
Here.
Member Hill.
Looks like she just popped in.
Yeah. Oh, Member Hill, you're muted.
Here, sorry, I couldn't get my mute button to go off. Sorry about that.
There you are, welcome.
All right, and for attendance, Nora Latinovich.
Right here.
Karen Barno.
Present.
Deborah Slater.
Right here.
Gretchen Jacobs.
Here.
And Kelsey Lane.
Here.
Okay, thank you everybody for being here. Let's do a quick introduction. Let's start with board staff, and we'll go into members and then our guests. Let's start with Jack.
My name is Jack Confirm, the Executive Director of the NCIA Board. Thank you.
Elizabeth.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Bronald. My title of my position is Program Project Specialist, but I mostly help out with training programs, doing renewals and new applications. And I've been doing site visits at the training centers, doing file audits and reviews, and that's basically it.
Thank you. Member Hill. Nope. You can stay on mute, I think.
Hi, everyone. Sorry to be late. I had a doctor's appointment this morning, ran a little bit over. I am the family member representative on the board and very interested in these training issues. So thank you for including me.
Thank you. And I'm Susan Archer. I'm the current vice president of the NCIA board. I own a 10-bed group home in Mesa. And next we'll go to Nora Latinovich.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Nora Latinovich. I am the executive director of Assisted Living Training School and also founder and president of Assisted Living Homes Organization.
Thank you, Ms. Karen.
I'm Karen Barno with Arizona Alpha. I'm the CEO of Arizona Alpha. I've been here for 25 years, so I remember back when the rules were written for the very first time for caregiver training, and I applaud the NCIA board for reacting so quickly to this challenge that we face. Not unexpected, but kind of. So thank you guys for this.
Thank you. Deborah.
I am Deborah Slater. I'm with SOAR Workforce Development. I've been with the federal programs here for the state of Arizona since 1985. I do employment training and job development to create jobs for participants.
Thank you. And Gretchen.
Hi, I am someone who wants to become an assisted living manager, and I just went through the caregiving classes and passed the test for the caregiver certification and absolutely loved it. And then when I went to sign up to be the manager, I was horrified to learn that I would have to come in. And so I've been trying to do what I can to be helpful.
Thank you. And Ms. Kelsey.
My name is Kelsey Lane. I am the Director of Education for Arizona Leading Age. I've been there 2 years this month, and I also oversee our Caregiver Training School and Assisted Living Manager Training School.
Okay, thank you, everybody. We're going to move into discussion of the possibility of moving back to an online platform or a blended platform of some form. I guess I will start the conversation. My two cents were is the pandemic emergency situations were all put to bed, put to rest, ended, no more masks, no more all of that in our state. However, that did not eliminate the emergency situation that we still have with finding adequate staffing for caregivers, managers, CNAs, and pretty much any restaurant you ever step into or any place of service that you walk into has a sign listed for help wanted. And, you know, a restaurant might be able to shut down part of their restaurant and only have two servers. We in the care field cannot just shut down. We can't just stop doing what we're doing because we don't have adequate staffing. And we're dealing with people personally, we're dealing with people who probably can't, they're probably already working two or three jobs just to make it, and they can't really be in class all day long, all the time. And I guess my proposition would be, if it was successful and good enough during the pandemic, why would that not still be true? So we'll open the floor to some discussions or questions.
I can, oh, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, you can raise your hand. Oh, wait. Yeah, oh, does everybody see at the bottom of their screen the little hand raise thing? So I have Ms. Hill, who has her hand raised. We'll start there.
Okay. Right, yeah, I thought I would try it so I'm not talking over people. Thank you. So a couple things. One, I would like to clarify, if you don't mind, what our breadth of decision-making is here today. I think it's to decide whether or not we want to recommend to the board to include online learning for the caregiver category only,
in
big question mark. And then we are not deciding which provider here today either, right? The board will make that decision through a procurement process. I was wondering if someone could answer that question before I provide my feedback.
Jack, do you want to do that, or you want me to explain it the best I know how?
Oops, you're on mute. Jack, you're muted.
I'll take a shot at it. Elizabeth, help hop in if I miss something. Okay. The first question is, the subcommittee was formed to make a recommendation to the full board about whether or not we change our administrative code to allow for some form or kind of online curriculum with the caregiver training programs. And Elizabeth, I think, can post the rule that's at discussion here. I believe it's, correct me, I think we have to have at least, is it 25% in person, or is it just the lab testing, the lab portion of the training program that has to be in person?
Right now it's 30. So the total caregiver training course is 62 hours, 50 hours of classroom learning, and then classroom instruction, then the 12 hours of skills training. And of the 50 hours of the classroom instruction, 20 hours of that can be done virtually, or distance learning is what it's stated in the rules.
So okay. So the request is to change that to allow for a blended online curriculum. I believe the committee can make a recommendation on a number of hours to the board. The second part of your question, Board Member Hill, there would not be any procurement involved. This would be a change or administrative code, and then all of the training programs could allow for that blended learning based upon that change in administrative code.
Okay, because then they get those programs approved based on the requirements of our regulatory code. Okay,
that thank is you. Correct.
And so, may I add that if our recommendation today goes back to the board on next Monday to move forward, we would still need a legislator to drop a bill that probably won't be recognized until the next legislative session, unless we can somehow get an emergency provision. And I don't know if that success would be successful or not. Do you, Jack?
Yeah, Vice President Archer, members of the subcommittee. This particular change in our regulations would not require a legislative act or signing of a bill by the governor. We can do this internally, meaning we would get approval from the governor's office for the change in the rule. There's executive orders that require us to get that approval. We would then send the amended, we would go through proposed rulemaking, which has certain notice requirements for before the Secretary of State's office and the Governor's Regulatory Review Council, GRC. And that process would probably take a minimum of 3 months. It probably could be up to 6 months, depending on those notice requirements and the approval from the governor's office and GRC. We could propose an emergency rulemaking, a couple more hoops to jump through, but that would reduce that timeline to 2 to 3 months after the board voted for and approved any kind of change to the rule.
Thank you. And Madam Vice President, Director, part of the reason for that is that we're only focusing on caregivers, though, is because of the statutory situation, right? So some caregivers, or for skilled nursing, for example, they are covered under statute, and our authority for allowing online learning would only be for AL caregivers. Is that correct?
That's the only jurisdiction that we have over the training programs.
Right.
They may train other people, but that would go to those other agencies and those other statutes.
Okay.
And so I think you're correct with that.
And I just wanted to make sure we understood the scope of what we were talking about, so that if we want to go to the board and say we need to work on a broader type of program later, that we need to talk about what that would look like. So with all of that being clarified, I would just say I'm very supportive of online learning programs. I think whether you're talking about online or in person, the thing we should be really focused on is the quality and the content. And so I think that in being new to the board and just now becoming familiar with our regulatory construct and the requirements we have for caregivers and managers, I would say that in some cases they're very, very good, and in some cases I think they need some updates and review. And so where I would have any question marks about training would be around whether or not we simply need to update our own context for what we're using to approve programs. But I think in this day and age, online learning is a necessary component to getting enough workers and keeping them trained and helping them with continuing education and helping them redo all the trainings that we're asking them to do at the board when they seem to be struggling with what their duties are on the manager side. So I support blended learning to be sure, and hope that this pivots into a broader conversation about what these programs look like in terms of quality and content.
Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else want to throw in their 2 cents?
I'll say something. When I found out that I was going to try to take 62 plus 40 hours, I was pretty much dreading it. And then I was relieved a little bit that it was online, but I still really didn't want to do it. And I will tell you that the first weekend I got done with 15 hours, because I found it to be such a impressive, the program I went through was so well done. So I had to stop at one point and cry, because they really told it from the perspective of from the person who's being cared for, about how you need choices and how they need choices. And they did vignettes of things you should be, you know, one way you could handle it, probably the way that would be natural for most, to say, you know, go back to bed, there's nothing there. And then showing it from the perspective of the person being cared for, and things that you can do and how to approach it. And anyway, I was very, very impressed with it. Far exceeded the online experience that I had, far exceeded it. And getting my 62 hours was much easier than I expected, because I found it pretty fascinating. I thought it was really really shockingly well done. And I have terrible ADD, and if it was boring at all or not informative, I wouldn't have been able to take it. So I have high marks for the program that I went through.
Thank you. Anybody else? Let's hear from Ms. Karen. What are the thoughts from Alba?
Alpha 100% supports online training. It's been proven to work over the pandemic, so we'd like to move it forward faster than as fast as possible with the workforce shortage, with the gas prices, with inflation, recession. We got to make the path easier for caregivers to enter into the marketplace. So we're 100%, my board 100% supports this.
Awesome. Thank you. And can I clarify that we are also including managers in this discussion, both training programs? Is that what everybody believes we're doing?
Yes.
I would like to, yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's hear from Ms. Deborah.
Thank you, everybody, for the opportunity to present. Me and Nora have been speaking. I have a SNAP program that we're doing for the state of Arizona with the Women's Coalition. And we started implementing this about 4 months ago, and now we're ready to move forward. And when it was presented, it was through the online, okay? And my concern is having it online because some of the recipients that come through, we provide the supportive services I was telling Nora to make them successful and meet the performance standards for the Department of Labor, okay? And that's how we get paid so we can help the next person to go through the caregiving training. We also give them supportive services such as, you know, their clothing that they need, their the gas vouchers, bus vouchers, childcare. So this is important because they're able to learn from home, okay? And then and some of them that we do will be coming through or through the workforce, also the programs, the one-stop areas, because I've done this for a long time. And they will be dislocated workers that have been laid off, people going into a new career. And we have our case managers that will support them throughout the first year, because we want to make sure that they have the people to mentor them, to help them if they're struggling in any way, to continue working for the facilities and stuff, because that's what we achieve those career set goals for them. Okay, and I'd appreciate if we could do it online, because it's worked, and it makes it a lot easier on everybody, so then they can learn that way. They know about taking the test, you know, on the center, but other than
everybody, everybody knows about the test.
Yep. Oh, yeah. But okay, I appreciate that for the consideration to do this, yes. Because we haven't moved forward until we know for sure that this is going to go, because we're all set with the Women's Coalition, me, and then the Greater Phoenix Urban League. We also teach a class during this process on life skills and financial literacy also to help the participant. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Can you come teach that to me?
Okay.
I think the only person we haven't heard from now is Kelsey.
I can say that Arizona Leading Age supports, you know, moving online. We've talked about it here within our office of how nurses, when the pandemic happened, obviously school went online for a lot of students, including nurses. So nurses went through online learning, and we believe that we've seen it effectively gone effectively with caregivers through online as well as managers.
Okay. So it sounds like to me, does anybody have a question of anybody who has spoken and presented any information? Okay, Mr. Confer.
I just have thank you. I just have one question, or it's not even a concern, it's just a thought for the group. In the past, when I've dealt with administrative codes and changes in regulation of this kind, the only thing that has ever really come up is that we have I don't know how many training programs do we currently have, Elizabeth, 135-ish, about that?
Yeah, somewhere around that.
Anytime the government changes a regulation, it has latent or unintended consequences. The only concern I could envision is that our training programs in the rural communities or the smaller mom and pop training programs are not going to be able to pivot to online curriculum because they don't have the resources to deliver that way. That could create some sort of unfair competition within your 135 training programs, meaning the people that are already able to do the online curriculum could get more of the market share that of students because they're already delivering it, they're already set up. That's the only unintended consequence that I could see at this time, and I just wanted to bring it up. It's not because I'm in opposition of anything we've talked about, but just realize that some of the programs out there might not be able to go to 50 hours of online because they're not set up to do that. So I just wanted to bring it up, not as a, you know, obstacle, but sometimes it will come up in rulemaking. That was my only comment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Elizabeth, did you have something right on the heels of that?
I just wanted to clarify with all of you too. This would also allow for Zoom classes to take place virtually, which when I've spoken with a lot of people from different caregiver and manager training programs, the administrators of the programs, and a lot of them were utilizing that during COVID as well. So I think what Jack is thinking of is these bigger training programs that have more resources to get a website set up with modules on there. It doesn't just include that. It can also be just a video call and then they can come in for the skills training.
Oh, okay. Good. That's a good point. Thank you. The first hand I saw up then was Gretchen.
So this is more a question for Becky. Do you think we could get an executive order to start, you know, immediately and then give us time to get legislation or I'm sorry, rules passed or, and if for, or the managers, whatever else we need?
You know, I think if we ask, there's a good possibility we would get it, but I think that we would need to have good data around the lag time and recruiting someone to be a worker and whether or not we think some people want to do it, but find the in-person to be cumbersome or, you know, just some data on the benefits of blended learning and how it can help to address our workforce issues. We would definitely need that. And just real quickly, Director, to your point, to piggyback off of what Elizabeth said before Karen jumps in here, you know, I think ultimately as many trained caregivers there are in the pipeline, they may not stay right with the place they originally trained. They may eventually be able to filter out into these additional caregiving settings. And I think smaller caregivers or smaller homes, for example, they may not be able to sign their own program, but they may simply, you know, procure one or partner with one off the shelf, and then they don't have to invest in designing their own.
Thank you for that. As a homeowner, I appreciate that sentiment. Okay, Ms. Barno.
I envision both programs being able to run because not everybody's going to want to do online training. Some people are going to want the in-person. So I think a lot of trainers out there are going to continue having both options available, some classroom, some online, and let the student choose. So I think we have to have, you know, them run parallel.
So it would be, yes, it would certainly be an option to either or.
Yeah, because the rurals, you're right, Jack, the rurals would not be able to probably, unless they buy somebody's program that's online. But I just think, you know, when you look at I think Nora does a blended, and I think it works for the people that still want to go to a classroom.
Thank you. Ms. Nora, you have your hand up.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Well, again, I would like to take this opportunity to thank everybody, the panel and the board, in taking the time to discuss this proposal that we submitted, and it's a quick turn around for you guys to help us and really taking it seriously and helping us to find a solution with the current epidemic that we have. It's not just about COVID or everything else, but it's especially the shortage of caregivers. Again, we are, as an assisted living training school, you know, we have two locations, one in East Valley and one on the West. And as an assisted living homes organization founder, also we are the front line, the hand and feet of our industry to know what's happening. So with this online, the blended learning that I'm just gonna piggyback for what Mr. Jack's concern, because on the blended learning, we can combine an optional face-to-face and online teaching into one cohesive experience. So again, with what Ms. Karen was talking about, people, they can have a choice. It's either probably the online is not available for them or it's not for them, then they have a choice to come to the school. So basically that's what we already been doing from the past when we had our online training during pandemic. So we have some students that cannot do any computer. They don't even know how to point and click and things like that. But we give them the options to come and to come to our school. And we found that as a very successful, you know, if we're going to compare our data from the past, I believe this online training for both caregivers and manager is going to beneficial our industry and create more people and entice them to kind of consider this as a second career for them. And from the past also, we've been dealing with different students coming from different state or different counties. Sometimes they have to travel for as far as from Page, you know, 5 hours, 6 hours, and then they have to stay in the hotel, or we have to find them an Airbnb, and they have to finish the classes and everything else. But again, I believe that this blended learning is going to be successful and create more caregivers to take care of our elderly population. And besides the rules, they can stay the same. It's just a matter of getting that options. You know, they can do the 50 hours online and then 12 hours hands-on, or they can even come to the school if they wanted to.
Okay, thank you. And just to clarify, the 12-hour skills where they're demonstrating hands-on work would still stand. That still needs to be done in person, and obviously the test is done at a certified testing site. So just so everybody's hearing the same thing, that they go through the modules, they read, they look at videos, they do quizzes at the end of each section if they're online, and then that 12 hours is still the mandatory hands-on portion. Is that what we're all saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did my 62 hours online, and I thought it was fantastic. So I don't know that there has to be hands-on, but I want to just throw that out because you guys certainly know more than I do. But I thought it was a really good training, and not any of it was online. I was in person, except for the test, which I thought was very important.
Well, so that could be a point of discussion. What are thoughts on even the skills portion? Anybody? Oh, Miss Deborah had her hand up from before, so let's hear from her.
Thank you. I just wanted to include that I am with the tribes, the 19 tribal nations here in our area, and we will be reaching out to them also to be able to put them through training. So that will be online. I just wanted to mention that and stuff. So I'm reaching out to all the rural areas also. That's important to make this happen.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That'll be a great asset. Any thoughts then on
what Vice President Arthur, I thought I hit my raised hand. When Karen's done, I do want to comment on the skills.
Oh no, your box is highlighted, so go for it.
Off the top of my head, I would be a little nervous about eliminating the in-person skills portion, but I do think that if someone hires someone who's otherwise completed the rest of the tasks, you know, that employer could do that in person, you know, 12 hours too. Mm-hmm. Maybe they are already. I'm not. So I would ask you, Madam Vice President and Ms. Barno, how that works in real life. But I would be a little nervous about, you know, getting rid of that, because I know in Gretchen's case, like, she's providing care already. You know, like, a lot of us already have experience providing care to our family members.
But I do see the awkwardness and discomfort of new caregivers who come in who've never dealt with the elderly before and don't know how to move them from chair to chair or whatever the skills training actually includes. I would want to think about that, but would love to know what you two think about that.
Thank you. I think that's a point well made, and maybe part of your concern would be swayed by the knowledge that when a new employee comes to us as a caregiver, we have to do orientation with them as well as recheck their skills and knowledge base technically before they're ever working on the floor, touching, doing direct care. So that there would be up to homeowner, manager, facility, nursing, director of nursing, or whoever is in place to do the onboarding of an individual person for what that.
Yeah, my only concern that I'll share back, and again, it's not a, I'm not saying no, I'm just talking through it. Just this last board meeting, we had a manager who allowed a new employee to come in on her own and start a shift because someone left or couldn't come in. I can't remember the circumstances, but her AM caregiver was not going to be there. So she asked this new employee if she could start right away that morning at 6 a.m. And she and the manager came in some hours earlier. So, you know, I don't know necessarily that that's always happening the way we envision it in our minds, but I just bring that up as a counterpoint.
No, and that's fair. Before I comment on that, we'll go to Ms. Karen and then Ms. Deborah.
I agree with Susan. The Department of Health Services requires providers to fill out a skills checklist. So that's why that provider appeared in front of the Board of Examiners, because clearly when the DHS came in, they realized the form was missing. So the skills checklist is constantly being checked. A lot of times when you hire a new nurse, they come in, they check it. So it does get checked a lot on site. We could always go to the Department of Health Services and ask them to make that a focus point, you know, for technical assistance for the first 6 months, the rules kick in. So they, you know, can make sure they're looking at it as well. But I would also, for the next conversation, ask, are we considering putting the test online so people don't have to go to a testing site? You can get your master's and take all the tests online. Is that something that would, if it would muddy the waters, then no, but might be something we want to consider down the road.
I would personally love that, but Jack, do you need to weigh in on that before we hear from Ms. Ebra? I saw your hand shoot up really fast.
Yeah, just real quickly for the group, staff has talked about that. We actually have a vendor in the name of CE Broker that can do the test for us online, but it has not been vetted with the board at this point in time. So very preliminary discussion. I would like it to go in that direction. It would save a huge amount of time for licensing as well as staff time, but we've got other things to do first. So that's kind of where we're at with it, if that answers your question.
That, for me, are you suggesting that we would not include that type of proposal with what we're discussing right now?
I think for the purpose, the record kind of indicates that we're looking at online curriculum for the training programs and caregiver programs. I would like to stay in that lane for now, if possible. Thank you.
Okay. Real quick. One of the reasons I really paid attention online is because I knew I was going to have to go into the test and take it myself. And I just think that there is a benefit right now, at least in this transition time, because I took it a little more seriously because I had to go in person and I couldn't just do it at home. So, but okay. I know that that's the future. So,
and that that's a fair comment. I think I appreciate that honesty. Ms. Deborah.
I just wanted to let you know, thank you, that we can do a work experience contract after they get that training, like the hours on site to train them to have those hours. That's what I do now with my apprenticeship programs. And then they go on into a on-the-job training contract. But I can utilize those, that concept, if you want, for NOR, so they can get trained, those have those hours and learn, okay? That's required. So we can do it that way if you'd like, you know, after they do the online and go work.
Yeah. Okay. All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Did somebody's picture go away? Whose phone number ends in 23?
I think Becky.
I think Kelsey had her hand up.
Oh, I don't see
I Kelsey. I did, but it was about testing, so not relevant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, someone else called in too. I'm not sure whose phone number that is, though. They just joined a little bit ago.
Yes, the person who just joined a few minutes ago, phone number is 602 and ends in 23.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Bree Isaacson. I was just, I represent Arizona Leading Age and just wanted to listen to the conversation.
Oh, okay. We just wanted to note your presence. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Vice President, I put in the chat because I was having trouble with my feed, so I thought it might be easier to put in the chat room there. But I wanted to comment on two things. To the director's point about the scope of this subcommittee, I agree that the main purpose is to decide whether or not we should move towards full-time blended learning, online learning for our caregiver manager training. And there seems to be some consensus that we should do that. But I think in addition to that, we've hit on some other big things that we, not to disagree with the director, but I feel like we should take to the board, maybe not recommendations, for action at the board meeting at the same time as blended learning, but for the subcommittee to continue to explore some of these other issues. You know, the issue with the testing, I think definitely would be kind of a logical next step to allowing, you know, blended learning. I also think that looking more at the efficacy of the programs and updating the content of the programs would be something else that we should recommend a study committee for, or a subcommittee for, I apologize, to the board. So while we definitely need to take this one narrow thing that they've asked us to do as an affirmative or not for our recommendation, I think we need to be looking at some of these peripheral issues too, because again, as I said at the very top of the meeting, to me, online or blended isn't the issue. It's the quality and content of the program.
Thank you. Ms. Karen.
Becky, I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. You're saying that the conversation we're having now about putting caregiver training online, you're good with, but studying caregiver training programs and the testing online is a separate conversation.
Yeah, the director has said, I think we should keep our lane pretty narrow based on the direction. And I think that's true for the direction for the broader recommendation that we are going to give them on blended learning. But I think that we've hit on some other issues related to training that shouldn't just fall through the cracks, that we should pursue, you know, ask the board or Vice President Archer or the director how we should pursue these other issues that came up in this conversation. While we may not be taking a recommendation to the board on those issues, we want to recommend to the board that we talk about those issues, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we agree 100%.
Including online testing.
Yeah, we agree 100%.
Yes, I would agree. And I would even ask, certainly to discuss caregiver training programs and content would be a completely separate conversation. I don't know if online testing, since we're talking about online training, is that too broad for us to discuss at this time and take a recommendation next week to the board? I heard Jack say that maybe that's too broad, but I guess I would like clarification on that.
Madam Vice Chair, members of the subcommittee, I think the discussions, my understanding is last time that all this stuff was looked at was some time ago. And we do have an agenda item on every meeting that allows the board to talk about future topics or future agenda items. My suggestion would be that either individually for the board members here, or if any of the other participants feel that they want an item on the agenda, obviously we can, board member can bring it up at the next meeting and ask for a future discussion, and we can start a subcommittee, or individually, if you have agenda items, you can email them to me. I just want, if possible, I just want to keep this scope on the online learning discussion, and we can put those other items on a future agenda as action items for discussion. But you know, I will do whatever I can. If the subcommittee wants to make a recommendation, so be it. We can move forward with that also.
Well,
did I talk right around that question?
Yes. So could we make a recommendation to include online testing on the next agenda so that we could have an open discussion? We can present our findings from today and ask the board for their vote to move forward with online training, and then have an open discussion about online testing added to the agenda.
To bring to the board's attention that we brought up these other issues related to training. One is online testing, you know, that might be the most immediate issue only because it's directly related to blended learning, right? And it seems to be very well connected. And then do we also want to look at the efficacy and update the content of the training programs as a separate future discussion? But I think the board should know that those issues came up at this meeting. They don't have to act on them, but I'd like for them to know that they came up.
Okay, yes, that's agreed. Karen.
But they're two wildly different topics.
Yes.
So just so we know, they're separated, because looking at the curriculum will take a very long time. I've been down that road a couple of times looking at the curriculum. Online testing, I think, could be easy once Jack finishes all his research of which one would work. I think that'd be easy. So just so we make sure to keep them separate.
Okay. I agree, Karen. And that's why I said this is like a very immediate, almost kind of easy follow up to this conversation. So I agree. Yeah, 100%.
Okay. And I believe if we were to change content or anything like that, that would have to go officially through a rules changing forum. And we would have to get permission and funding to be able to do that, wouldn't we, Mr. Confer?
To be quite honest with you, I've looked at the curriculum maybe twice in the last 8 months. I believe the outline for what curriculum needs to be in the programs is in our rules, but I couldn't tell you exactly how long ago those rules were promulgated, but
2013.
So 10 years ago.
About 10 years ago. Yep.
Yeah. So, but there would be a lot of work that went into that. The bandwidth of for staff right now, my staff is very limited because everything's oriented towards investigations. So it would take some intensive planning and a lot of time to get it done. Can we do it? Absolutely. With help of subcommittees and people that want to volunteer time.
Maybe I can add something, and it may be off base. I don't know. In 2013, when the rules were changed and the caregiving programs and their licensing moved to the NCIA board, everything was revisited then. And there were several people who, as part of various committees across the state, it started as 140 hours, Ms. Barna, do you remember that? 140 hours or something with
104.
With clinicals and all of that, and it whittled down. And the notion being that at the 62 hours that we currently have, we have the highest trained caregivers in the country. And these are people who come out and make minimum wage. Some places can pay more, and that's great. Yay for them. If I could pay more, I would, but minimum wage. And I guess my basic mantra would be, you cannot teach compassion, and you cannot teach the desire to come in and do this. And so just there are people who there are bad actors in every field that you come across, from ministers to doctors to whomever. So I don't know that increasing the training or is going to change the nature of some of the people that we're dealing with. And I don't know, Ms. Member Hill, if that's, we are frustrated every day with people who are not doing and performing as they should.
I don't think, and you know, I'm starting to familiarize myself with all of the rules, and obviously it's going to take a while, but something came up at the last meeting that caught my attention on pain management. And so I've been going through some of the trainings, and, you know, I don't think that there needs to be a complete overhaul, or even that every one of the little components even needs more hours in every case. I just think that updating the content of those hours might be appropriate. There's very little, if anything, around dementia care. Pain management is completely missing from the med management section of our rules. You know, someone who was very well-meaning talked about making sure that their opioid care included only providing pain meds to residents who reported their pain at 10. Well, that's never going to happen with a dementia resident. So I just think there needs to be some update to the content. I don't think we necessarily need to say we're going to try to teach compassion and we need to slap more hours on to what you, as you point out, is an entry-level caregiving situation. But for the managers, I definitely think that we could be updating their content knowledge. They have a lot of responsibility, and families and the board and others hold them, you know, to a very high level of responsibility. And I think our responsibility is to make sure they're appropriately trained. So thank you for letting me soapbox a little bit here.
No. We all get a turn. We all get a turn. And thank you. And I think we all appreciate that concern. Any follow-up to that?
Can I make a follow-up regarding what Ms. Hill was saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you know, with what you were saying a while ago, Ms. Susan, you know, before we used to have 104 and then it was amended to 106 to 62. And with the current rules that we're having right now as a school, I believe that the content is just right for the caregivers to learn basics. So eventually it's just for me, because that is, I've been following the rules and everything else, and we develop a very good modules for them to learn. So I believe, again, the caregiver training program can stay as is, 62 hours, and it doesn't need to be overhaul. And manager, I agree that it can be, you know, it can be amended and change some of the topics that are relevant to become a manager. But the caregiver, I just want them, you know, if I can give my 2 cents opinion, is just keep it the way it is.
Well, you're up to about 2 quarters now, but okay, thank you. And yes, I think we're all on the same page here. Certainly whatever would happen in curriculum to any program is a later discussion that we would have to bring as an agenda item. So if we're going to table for now, are we voting on a recommendation that we're going to present Monday? Is that what our protocol would be here as a committee?
Madam Vice Chair, members of the committee, what I would suggest is some sort of consensus, either vote or nod, on whether or not we're going to go online, and then how many hours. I don't have consensus from the subcommittee on whether it's, you know, for the caregiver training, whether it's 50 hours to go online, not including the 12 hours, or if we're going to say all 62 hours, including the practical, can be online. I'd like to get that consensus from the subcommittee, and then when we have that consensus, Elizabeth will write up that consensus, send it out to everybody, and that's how we'll appear on the board meeting. Okay. We haven't had a lot of discussion about managers. If we're going to include the manager for online, is that the entire 40 hours, or what? I need the consensus on those things so we can have a clear recommendation to the board. That's my suggestion.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to start off. My recommendation, and I guess everybody can take a turn and we'll see if we all kind of come to an agreement, would be that the 40-hour manager can be online, that the caregiver can be online just like it was during the pandemic. I'm up in the air about the 12-hour hands-on, but can, with the understanding that each location has, by acting and following our rules, we have to onboard somebody when we bring them on the floor. Now, we do have emergency situations that somehow prevent that, but nonetheless, it is our requirement to test skills and knowledge when somebody hits our floor. So in that sense, I think I could approve or be okay with online for the entire portion for both caregiver and manager. That's where I sit. Let's just go in a row. My screen, I have Ms. Karen at the top.
I agree, Susan. I think we should put all 40 hours managers online, all 62 hour caregiver online. But you could, as a caveat, require if the community does the training, whomever does, Assisted Living Home or Center does the hands-on, they have to send a completed form to the trainer and then put the onus back onto the trainer to make sure that they're policing their side to make sure it's done.
I don't know. I don't know, Jack, if you know the answers to this, but can we do that? Because that would effectively change a rule, would it not?
Could we do that? Yes. The question becomes whether it's duplicative, because DHS has the regulation and mandate for the competencies of the caregivers, which is already supposed to be done. So if we're truly only training people, I'm not sure how far we have to go beyond that. But could we do it? Yeah.
I love that answer, Jack. That's the perfect answer.
Thank you.
DHS has jurisdiction. Let them take care of it. Everything goes online.
Okay, thank you, Karen. Mrs. Rebecca, Member Hill, sorry.
Hi. Yeah, that's okay. I go by Rebecca because we have another Becky. So we're
yes,
in the God-given name here. Okay, so yeah, I support everything going online with the understanding that I hope that we can take some of these other issues to the board for discussion as well.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Knorr.
I totally support. Again, you know, I think it is for the best interest of our industry overall. It's going to be a win-win situation. And again, the schools are going to be responsible for their students, even though it's going to be online, all of it. You still have to be responsible, make sure that your caregivers are properly taught and, you know, finish the modules and pass the tests, and, you know, they can do whatever in their power to, we are monitoring it. So again, it's up to the school to make those students successful.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Deborah.
I'd just like to say thank you again for considering on doing it online for our participants and being able to move forward for their training. And as Nora said, we'll make sure that, you know, we do what we need to do to make this successful for them all the way around. So that's our goal, to do that and get them trained and get a good sustainable, you know, a skilled trade job. Okay. And we could move forward for their families.
Thank you. Ms. Kelsey.
I agree as well, doing the full 40 hours for the AL manager and the full 62 for the caregiver online. And then just holding the school responsible for making sure that we're training competent caregivers and assisted living managers.
Okay. Thank you. And Ms. Gretchen.
This is a dream come true that you guys are all meeting and this is happening. I'm so grateful because it's amazing. I learned a lot and I was shocked by the quality and so I wholeheartedly support all of it being online.
Thank you. Jack and Elizabeth, do you guys weigh in or you're just
I don't have anything. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk over you there.
No, I was being flippant. Go ahead.
I don't know if Ms. Isaacson's still on the phone and wants to weigh in.
Oh,
but
yeah,
Right.
They were getting on a plane, so I'm sure she, I believe she jumped off.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Elizabeth, do you have anything further that we need at this particular time?
No, I don't. Not right now.
A big thank you to Elizabeth, everybody, for putting this all together. She worked pretty hard on the agenda.
Thank you.
And getting everybody invited, and it's very much appreciated. My yes. personal thanks for everybody here. I think it's was a great idea, Nor. Thank you for bringing it forward. And the fact that everybody has gotten together so we can move forward with our regulations for our community, make it a better place is awesome. So thank you all for me.
All right. Thank You're you. Welcome. Thank you, everybody.
A recommendation on Monday is everything goes online and an agenda item will be to discuss testing online.
Testing and curriculum.
Well, curriculum is probably a farther down the road notion for an agenda.
Well, I yes. thought what we'd agreed is we would bring to the board's attention the other issues that came up, and then we can prioritize, for example, the testing. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Perfect.
That can be down the road.
Okay.
Can we make a recommend? I don't know how this works. I've not been affiliated with any boards or executive orders, really. Can the board ask for an executive order that would be temporary until we can get everything through the process so that people can start right now? Is that something the board would ask for, or would I just as an individual ask for that, or what are your thoughts?
Madam Vice President, members of the subcommittee, I will give you my opinion. We can ask for anything. I think, and meaning this, and it's this, you know, it's a letter to the governor telling them why we need the executive order for all the right reasons. In the length of time the administration has in office, which is a little over 6 months, I think it would be very hard pressed for us to get that executive order. I know some other industries have asked for it in different situations, but I haven't seen much movement. And it's not a comment on anything. It's just, I think it's going to be hard pressed to get that done between now and the end of this term. But obviously the board can direct staff to do that. And we can ask for it. So I think Vice President Archer, if that's something that you want to move forward in some way, I think we
that can. That is something I would like to move forward, because the situation, like I said earlier, the emergency still exists for us, even though the pandemic portion of it is less of an emergency now, though that seems to rear its ugly head every other week. It is still a concern. And I would venture to say, I would like to maybe, I don't know if it's helpful, but I'm sure we could get a couple of senators or somebody kind of on board to support us, even if they don't have to drop a bill, that they could help with a recommendation that goes along with ours.
And I don't disagree with you at all. You're eventually going to get to the point where, is it appropriate for this board to be asking for an executive order for this, or is it appropriate for the industries to be lobbying senators, representatives, the governor's office to do this? It's a fine line. And again, that's just my opinion.
And I appreciate your opinion, and I'm going to throw my 2 cents in, and I'm up to $1.50 now, and say that, you know, there was what, 8.6 or something million dollars granted to increase the caregiver workforce that's only accessible to the larger centers and skilled nursing. Us at the care home level at 1800 in the state don't have access to those opportunities. Ms. Deborah, you know, presents some. So all I'm suggesting is, at what point in time, I for me, it's appropriate every single day to talk to my legislators and say, we need some help.
I don't disagree, but obviously this is a meeting open to the public with a specific agenda that has been agendized. I've Correct. Tried to get us back into that lane several times, and I just think we're getting way outside right now. So, okay. And I don't mean to say that, I was trying to avoid saying that, but I think we have the recommendations that we need to move forward, and I'll try to get the other things on the agenda. But you have a hand up still. I think Karen's got a question. Ms. Karen.
I hear what you're saying, Jack, and I agree, and kind to even more agree with you, Jack. I spoke with our lobbyist, Jana Day, about an executive order, and she said exactly what you said, Jack, that the timing, the governor's race, it's not worth attempting.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, with that, then we have the recommendation to move forward with online training for managers and caregivers, which we'll present at the board meeting Monday, as well as agendize a couple of topics to further discuss online testing and other caregiver training and manager training concerns in the future. Is that where we all stand? Everybody thumbs up? That's where
Thank
we
you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so
much. God bless everyone.
Bye. We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.